you, and the perspective is completely different.
The truth sat in her lap, heavy as a child. She was going to do this. That knowledge, which should have stopped her short, instead coursed through her limbs like brandy. For the first time in weeks, she didn't feel as if she were sleepwalking on the ocean floor, her lungs fiery, holding on to the breath she'd taken before she went under. A breath that would have been bigger, more deliberate, had she known what was coming. In this horrible place, watching this horrible man, she suddenly felt normal again. And with this feeling came the most wonderfully normal thoughts. That she hadn't wiped down the kitchen table after breakfast. That the library book which had gone missing was behind the dirty clothes hamper. That her car was 1,500 miles overdue to have the oil changed. That in the next 2 seconds, the bailiffs escorting him would step back to give him privacy to speak to his attorney. In her purse, her fingers slipped over the smooth leather cover of her checkbook, her sunglasses, a lipstick, the furry nut of a lifesaver, lost from its package. She found what she was looking for and grabbed it, surprised to see that it fit with the same familiar comfort as her husband's hand. One step, two, three. That was all it took to come close enough to the monster to smell his fear, to see the black edge of his coat against the white collar of his shirt. Black and white, that was what it came down to. For a second, she wondered why no one had stopped her, why no one had realized that this moment was inevitable, that she was going to come in here and do just this. Even now, the people who knew her the best hadn't grabbed for her as she rose from her seat. That was when she realized she was wearing a disguise, just like the monster. It was so clever, so authentic. Nobody really knew what she had turned into. But now she could feel it cracking into pieces. Let the whole world see, she thought, as the mask fell away. And she knew, as she pressed the gun to the defendant's head, she knew as she shot him 4 times in quick succession that at this moment she wouldn't have recognized herself. Part 1. From Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. When we are struck at without a reason, we should strike back again very hard. I'm sure we should. So hard as to teach the person who struck us never to do it again.
We're in the woods, just the two of us. I have on my best sneakers, the ones with rainbow laces, and the place on the back that Mason chewed through when he was just a puppy. Her steps are bigger than mine, but it's a game. I try to jump into the hole her shoes leave behind. I'm a frog. I am a kangaroo. I'm magic. When I walk, it sounds like cereal getting poured for breakfast. Crunch. My legs hurt, I tell her. It's just a little bit longer. I don't want to walk, I say, and I sit right there, because if I don't move, she won't either. She leans down and points, but the trees are like the legs of tall people I can't see around. Do you see it yet? She asks me. I shake my head. Even if I could see it, I would have told her I couldn't. She picks me up and puts me on her shoulders. The pond, she says. Can you see the pond? From up here, I can. It is a piece of sky lying on the ground. When heaven breaks, who fixes it?
Chapter 1. I have always been best at closings. Without any significant forethought, I can walk into a courtroom, face a jury, and deliver a speech that leaves them burning for justice. Loose ends drive me crazy. I have to tidy things up to the point where I can put them behind me and move on to the next case. My boss tells anyone who'll listen that he prefers to hire prosecutors who were waiters and waitresses in former lives, that is, used to